Hello, hello, hello. What's going on, people? It's your boy MC Fixer. How are we all doing? This is my Xbox in me extra, and welcome to episode 9. I am one of your hosts, MC Fixer, alongside the one and only Matt P. Video.
What's up, everybody? I'm going to bring the energy today if Fixer ain't. Jesus, where did that go?
Also alongside the one and only Mr. Paul Despawn.
Yo, 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 yo. I'm not going to stop going yo, yo, yo. What's up?
And also Crash is here.
I'm so conflicted on whether I want to match your tone right now. I don't want to go higher, I'll be honest.
I planned that before the start of the show. What's going on, people? We're back. Another episode of my Xbox and me extra. It's not called that. It's called MXAM Extra. How is everybody doing? Matt, nice to see you.
I'm good, man. I'm good. Working on really cool shit that I can't talk about. Go on.
I don't like the fact that you show up for this show now and not the podcast, the My Xbox and Me podcast. I'm noticing you like this show a little bit more. And this show gets significantly less views than the podcast.
I think he likes the segment he introduced.
Yes, of course he does.
I think that's what it is. I
do like to be fair. Hands up for that.
Yeah.
It's a good segment.
I turn up when I can. like that is always the case.
Do we move the segment to the main show just so we can get Matt to show up every week?
Just to test it. Test the theory.
This is my MXAM Extra. You can support the show over on Patreon. You can support the show over on YouTube. You can watch us live on Twitch, twitch.tv/ my Xbox and me. Damn, I'm definitely just woke up out of bed and rusty, aren't I? Jesus Christ. Sorry, Matt, I was going to say something. I do apologize.
No, I wasn't.
Baldur's Gate 3, my D&D and me episode 2. Oof. Go watch it if you want.
Matt, have you watched it yet? Oof.
I have not.
I think it's best if he does it.
That's Matt. Don't watch it.
Exactly. I was gonna plan on discussing this in this episode. Okay. Not watch it because I was back at camp? So you need to fill me in next episode, I guess. I saw some memes flying around out of context in the Discord, and I'm like, I don't know if I like this direction.
I can't believe how off rails it went not having you there.
Wow. Yep. Okay.
It's almost as bad as like maybe we shouldn't play when you're not there.
No,
it was not great.
It was bad.
Honestly, I think it was great for the chaos. Until it wasn't.
I think it was great for the moment contact. That it's going to make when Matt is back. But yeah, it was an interesting episode. Shit. It was an interesting episode. Shout out to Aaron God, our Patreon producer. We do appreciate you. The big announcement, obviously, today we're meant to be doing a 12-hour live stream. That is not happening because again, a bunch of our mods said, we'd quite like to be there, but you've given us no notice at all and we can't book the time off work. So we have decided as a group to move the date of our 12-hour live stream. We are giving you guys plenty of notice. Now, I will let you all know, this is going to sound like a long time away, and that's mainly because of Matt P. I just want that made perfectly clear.
I mean, yes, it's true.
Hey, you got cool that you can see it. Also, quick one. Let me make this perfectly clear, audience that are listening to this. Crash can call Matt a bitch. Despawn could call Matt a bitch.
You bitch.
I can call Matt a bitch. You cannot call Matt a bitch.
Everybody
because
can call me a bitch.
No, because it's going to get to a point where people start latching onto things where, Matt, we've met. I've hugged you.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We've all met each other. Matt, everybody is other than weirdly. Fucking very weird. I don't like that. Yeah. No, I know. That's what I'm saying. You've met everyone, but we haven't.
Yeah.
Oh right, I see.
See, I've not met Crash yet, so I'm not calling him a bitch. Once I meet Crash, I'm calling him a bitch.
I've spent so much time with Crash that I feel comfortable to call him a bitch without actually touching him. But I don't want people to lose context of like, hey, we know each other. All right, remember, just be careful. I get it. It's a joke. Don't take it too far. It kind of just came out of the blue. I do not want anyone's mental. I know we're a fake company that actually is a real company, but I will have to get HR involved, really, Haley being like, Matt, are you okay? Because that's usually what she does. So, be careful.
You know, I could do with a check-in from Haley every now and again.
Matt.
Please, no.
Serious question.
Go on.
Are you okay? you bitch.
Yeah. That helped.
Anyway, all right, let's talk about video games, shall we? What's been in our box? Eastman, I'm going to let you start today. I know you've been waiting now a really long time, actually, it feels like, to talk about this game. So please start the show with what you've been playing. Matt, just chill, relax.
Matt's just disappeared because he's like, he's not, yeah. So what have I been playing? Well, I've, not much really. I had a game of... I had a game of Helldivers last night. That was fun.
Nice.
Yeah, Matt Bell got me. So, yeah, it was all right.
You fought for democracy?
I fought for democracy. I won for democracy. Super flag.
I know where we're going, but a serious detour. Have you played in the mech yet?
Yes. So.
Fucking great. It's so good.
I want to actually, like, I know what Fix is going to, like, no, Fix is...
He's going to blow a casket.
Fix is annoyed because I'm not talking about the game. I will talk about Final Fantasy VII Rebirth shortly.
I'm a professional podcaster. Okay. I teed you up.
I know.
For a great segment.
It was a perfect
there.
Tee up as well.
I literally did everything I could.
It was just great. It was a great bit.
Yeah.
And it transcended from a bit to like actual, like,
actual conversation.
I'm wasted on you people. I hope you understand that. I'm wasted.
Yeah.
My talents are wasted here.
Yeah. No, so yeah, come so on, the Chris, mech was really good.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
No, so basically, I for the first time ever, I jumped into quick play with like just a random group. It was me at level 6, a level 1, a level 5, and a level 45. The level 45 was an open... Yeah, so the level 45 was running around an open comms, calling it out everywhere, like, so we'll go this way, and we'll get this side quest, and then we'll do this, and we'll do that. It was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah,
oh, I love that.
Firstly, if you ever get the chance, jump into, like, just a quick play every now and again. It's so much fun. We got to the point where we're obviously calling in the extract. He called in the mech. This mech just drops out of nowhere. He jumps in it, runs around, starts blasting everyone. Then he jumps out and he goes, yo, if anybody wants to go, jump in.
Oh, so, that's dope.
So I jump in. He's like, just don't kill us. I turn around to face the entire group. And then I turn back and start shooting the aliens. But yeah, no, that thing is cool. That thing is so cool. Definitely, if you get a chance to check it out, check it out. I didn't get a chance to be a part of the old event. Like, I do like that they're doing that as events, like unlocking new, like, I guess, stratagems as part of, like, community events.
But also, like, they made it really clear, like, hey, if you don't, like, man up and get this sorted, the enemy will have the mechs and you won't. And like that kind of meta game that they're playing is like so cool and so interesting and is bringing people back again and again and again for it. It's great.
I can't wait to see what's next. People come into my chat regularly saying, what, not fighting for democracy?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well,
do you hate democracy, Fix?
They did a really cool thing where they were having like random stratagems appear for people and stuff like that. There was like, I want to say warhogs, but they weren't warhogs, obviously.
Yeah.
Vehicles and stuff like that, just randomly. And like, it's some of the best promotion in a type of game like this I think we've seen in a very, very long time, where it's kind of letting the game speak for itself and sort of like... Mm-hmm. Just really out there marketing of just basically people talking about it. Like, hey, is this leaked? Is this a glitch? Like, what's going on? It's all planned and stuff like that. It's really dope.
Yeah, it's a really good way to capture like viral marketing because you just get the community behind talking about it. It's like, you just let everyone online do the work for you and it's fantastic. Yeah. But yeah, that mech is amazing.
Their TikTok page is brilliant as well. They do like daily war reports that are like these propaganda films. Mm-hmm. And it's exactly what you were saying, Kresh, of like, some Helldivers are reporting, like, I can't remember what they were calling the GP though, but yeah, like extra vehiculars dropping into combat and stuff like this. And it's so cool. It just builds like mythos and like craziness of the world. It's sick.
We need to go back. For democracy, right now, man.
Right now, I cannot go back, unfortunately. Too much to play right now. Speaking of games to play, Despawn, what else have you been playing?
I have been playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Wow.
And it has been great. Oh my God, that game.
Start me off. How many hours? I want to go around the room right here. So how many hours are you in?
Oh, around 40-ish. Okay. Maybe a bit longer.
50?
Big old goose egg. I'm at about 12 on remake. 12 hours.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
We'll get back to you.
And yeah, I'm at about 25.
Now, here's a real question for everyone. How many hours are those of Queen's Blood?
I've done so many. I've legit probably three or four.
So good.
I've done every single match of Queen's Blood I can do. Like, if there's one, I'll go out of my way and be like, I'm stopping the story for right now. I gotta go do that Queen's Blood that's across the map and I haven't even explored. So, I'm ignoring everything else.
We're jumping ahead a little bit here. So let's draw it back to the beginning, Despawn. It's just, again, no spoilers, just so everyone's aware we're not Matt P here.
Matt P's my P, but...
Spoiler free discussion. What are your initial thoughts of the game?
Oh, man, it's everything I wanted from this sequel and more. But I will say, right now, I think I prefer Remake more than Rebirth, story wise.
That's a fact.
But I think that's a kind of a like a knock-on effect of the world that they've built. So I think the story is fantastic in Rebirth. Everything forward is Rebirth. But yeah, I think the story is fantastic. I think the combat is amazing. Give me 2 seconds. I just realized that I'm getting alerts and I don't want that to come through on stream.
Well, alerts. I'll talk about the game anyway. Again, I've come at it from a very different point of view than obviously both Despawn and Crash, right? Because I had known nothing about where the way I view this is Disc 2 goes with Final Fantasy 7. So Rebirth for me is a brand new, I don't know about these regions, I don't know about some of these new characters that we're meeting, things like that. And I agree with you. I think part of it's unfair because we haven't got to the end of the game, right? And I think Remake's end story is what got me emotionally attached to all of the characters I am now emotionally attached to. So it's kind of unfair to judge a game that we haven't beat compared to a game that we have beat and we've been sat with for so long, right? But I do agree. So far, the story, I really enjoy the relationship between the characters. And I think that's what this game does better than Remake does.
Yep.
It really expands on the relationship between Cloud and others and, you know, Tifa and Aerith and just everyone, to be honest with you. And I think that's what makes this game really, really, really good. I'm doing things and it has obviously dialogue options and things like that. And I'm always conscious of like where I want this relationship to go with each of the characters. Mm-hmm. It's not just a case of, and the time is very fast as well. It's not like you've got a second there. It's like read, pick one. Like it's not, you don't have time to like sit there and be like, well, this will affect this and this will affect this. No, it's like, make a decision, pray that it goes right and pray that you haven't upset Barrett for saying something. And I think that's what it does well, is the relationship side of things. The world itself is amazing. My only gripe with it so far is lighting when going into new areas.
Yes.
I think the lighting is atrocious, if I'm being honest with you. When going into new areas, it is so dark. It on my monitor, I can't speak for other people's, but on my monitor, playing with HDR, sometimes I can't even see what's going on.
It's the lighting and the transition lighting where sometimes it'll be like way too bright and sometimes it'll be like way too dark and it won't adjust enough until like you fully move into the area. And you'll notice that throughout the whole game. There's some areas where it's like you're going through shade and out of shade and it'll happen a little bit more often, which is unfortunate.
I would
imagine that getting patched not too long.
I think I have seen them talk about it. So I imagine that it's on the word. Yeah. To go back, why I think Remake is better for me rather than Rebirth. So far.
What chapter are you on?
I've just hit 9.
Thank God.
Yeah.
You don't understand why I stopped my stream early the other day because I didn't want to pass you or Full Metal. No, but you'll disappear and I like having you there.
Okay. Oh, bless. Because that'll be Queen's Blood.
Exactly.
But no, I think for me, and it's not, I don't think it's an issue. I think it's just a preference, is the open world sections stop the story for me.
You do the open world sections,
yes,
right?
Yes, I do. It's just the way I am as a gamer. I have to do everything. I have to 100%. The only thing I'm not 100%ing is the battles where, you've got to stagger, pressure, limited time limit, whatever it is. If I don't 100% one of those, I'll like, because it completes it even if you do one of them. I'm basically building up my character. I'm going to go back and do it. I've got an amazing build now, which I want to share with everyone, but it's so good. But yeah, like for me, it's those like open world sections that basically just like the story stops a little bit and it's just like, well, okay, so I could carry on into the next area and carry on the story, but me being the gamer that I am, I've got a checkbox of things I need to click off that is going to take me another hour. And it's that hour that I'm like, oh, but I just want to get back to the story. But these bits are fun. But I want to get back to the story. Yeah, yeah.
Here's what I'm going to say. I think Remake's worse with that.
Really?
The very first time you get to I can do what I want section, Remake forces you to do all the side quests that first part. Remake is definitely worse with that, where with Rebirth, maybe almost out the gate, except to the point where you get to, I don't want to spoil it, so I'm not going to talk about it. There is a part where they do make you do some side stuff, but it's not, it's only side mini games and you have to play them once then you can leave. Whereas with Remake, they force you quite a few times to do some of the side quests.
That's fair.
And especially if you want certain parts of the story to go a certain way, you have to do side quests in Remake. Where with Rebirth, it's very, very like, do it if you want. You'll get some bonus goods, you'll get XP levels, etc. But you don't have to do any of that. You can skip all of it in this game.
Yeah, maybe it's recency bias. Maybe I'm just like, I'm remembering the story of Remake and I'm actively experiencing the gameplay of Rebirth. But yeah, so far, story-wise, oh man, I'm in love with this game so much.
Yeah, like, see, absolutely. I'm not.
Really?
I'm in love with the characters. Every single character relationship I love. And that's obviously a part of the story, obviously. But the overarching, again, I don't know what happens, So I'm not going to say anything, but you know what I mean. Like where we're at with Cloud and where we're at with Sephiroth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on chapter 7, by the way, so to give people context that do know what I'm talking about. I'm not loving that. Like, I like Sephiroth as a character. I don't love him the way the other people do. I just don't think he's that interesting.
Yeah. So
I get why you think that.
Yeah.
That's wrong.
You've got to remember, I don't have the context.
You don't have the context, So
there's with Cloud right now. Cloud's a moody little bitch.
Yeah.
Like, but I know there's a reason why he's, and the game is alluding to that for me a lot more now, but there's a clear reason he's a moody little bitch, but he's a moody little bitch. Like, I have to like, remember this is a remake of a game where ultimately they do expect you to know a lot more than what you should. I think.
These are sequels. They're not. They're like not straight up remakes. They're like part sequels, part remakes. Like you can go into them without having played the original. So much more out of the games if you've played the original.
Yeah.
Which is why I told Fix multiple times, like, you should play the original before you get to
Rebirth. I generally feel like there's some wow moments that are happening in this game, even the open world segments. And I know we haven't even got to this was shown in a trailer, so I've not got there yet, but like flying vehicles and things like that, I know those exist in this world, I think. Again, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I did see that in a trailer? I did, right? Confirm it to me. I did see that in the trailer. Some sort of vehicle that flies. No? Okay, no one wants to tell me nothing. You see that, Matt? Matt, you see that? They don't want to talk to me anymore.
I don't believe that was shown in a trailer. No.
Well, I've never played the game, so it has to have been.
Let's put it this way. I think you've got, because I know where you are in the game, you've got past to a point where there is a flying vehicle shown, but you can't control it.
Yeah, I don't think there's any controllable flying vehicles in this.
Okay, well, it seems like there is. I've got a feeling there's going to be at some point. I'm just saying that. Again, I don't know, but that's what I think. But yeah, I do like I do think it's the one thing I'm a little bit disappointed in as well is, it's a shame that each of the regions don't have different things to do in its side quests. I do find myself, I'm already over tapping the patterns for that side quest. I'm overdoing the triangle in time for that thing. Like, I'm over that. Like, what I will say is an evolution of like a synchronization in Assassin's Creed, right? Like, it's that similar system of like, go to this spot, do that. But
yeah,
I'm over those. I'm 25 hours in there. I'm over that. I will keep doing it because it's not long. It's not hard. But if I wasn't streaming, I think I would play exactly how you're playing, which is like get through the story.
Fair.
I was going to say, I think with that stuff, I don't mind it because it's so quick. It's go in, you do it 2 seconds and you get out. And I'm naturally going to those things as I'm trying to explore the world, the open world that there is, where it doesn't feel to touch on Remake, there are certain mini games and certain stuff you have to do in Remake. Like, I don't know if Matt's done this, so I don't know if I want to talk about it.
Matt doesn't care.
There's a part where you have to control a mechanical hand in Remake. I hate that. Mm-hmm. It felt tedious. It felt dumb. And a lot of the side stuff in this game sort of avoid that for the most part.
I thought of one more thing that I dislike about this game.
Yeah.
Stealth. Oh my god, those full stealth bits. The stealth parts,
yeah. Yeah, they're stealth. Luckily, there's not that many. The bits that you had, which you hated, I think that's the last time I've seen a stealth bit.
It sucks.
It's the last time I've seen it as well.
Is what stops this game. I've got a bunch of gripes with it, but if I was reviewing it for my Xbox and Xbox, which I don't actually know who's reviewing it, if we are reviewing it, whatever. I would mark it down for those moments itself. They are that annoying that it couldn't be a 10 out of 10 for me because of those moments.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Are they like forced mandatory stealth in the sense of like, you've been spotted, start over.
Start again. Yeah. Yep.
Awful,
man.
I will say, checkpoints. They have a lot of checkpoints throughout those levels.
They do.
Yeah, but it's stupid. It takes me out.
I don't disagree.
It takes me out. Yeah,
100%.
After I've run around killing monsters, double, triple the size. And I get it. I understand from the story that they're telling it in that moment as well. That like the bandit one annoyed me more. And that's all I'm going to say. Annoyed me more than the chocobos.
Yeah. You're not going to slap a chocobo with a sword. That'd be
That was not mandatory. Yeah. I know, I get what you're saying. I'm just saying in terms of like it being mandatory or not, that one's not mandatory.
I
get what you
mean. Okay, I guess technically it's not mandatory in the side mission. Yeah, but it's mandatory in the side mission, but it's not mandatory to the overarching story. I get it. Yeah. Go on.
I was just going to say, you guys have talked a lot about, and I feel like we start the conversation of like the things that you don't like about it or the things that it does worse than Remake. What is the like biggest improvement here for you over Remake?
The combat and characters for me. The character, like the way that the character's writing is done is like leaps above Remake. Which Remake was fantastic for me, but go on.
I think for Remake, they spent a lot of time expanding the side characters with like Jesse, where everybody in Remake was like, Jesse's the standout character, that's best girl, etc. And they didn't do too much with the main cast in that game.
Yeah.
Like they were there, but they were very much, they felt somewhat like caricatures of the characters they were in Final Fantasy VII and not sort of brought into the modern age too much. Mm-hmm. They were to a degree, but not as much. Whereas in Rebirth, I feel like you get them a lot more fleshed out. You have a lot more nuance with Barrett and why he is the way he is, why Cloud is the way he is, even more so than you did in the original. Like Fix said, Cloud's a moody bitch. By the time you get to where I'm out, they do a better job at explaining why Cloud's a moody bitch than they did in the original.
He is a moody bitch, though. Like, that's the thing. He's a moody bitch.
Even when he's being a moody bitch, like you start to see that humanity coming out of him a little bit in the conversations. Just like as you grow those conversations with people, is like there are so many. Like again, I don't want to spoil anything for anyone who's not played it yet, but
No buts here.
I'm not showing my ass for anyone. But yeah, no. But the way that the characters talk to each other is fantastic throughout. I think there's these little snippets of just like sensitivity and humanity between each character when they're talking to each other, especially when they go through like a hard moment and just seeing how they're reflecting on that moment. It's so well done. And then the combat, like the way that the combat works with the synergy abilities as well, and linking those all together and like linking up your characters.
Still don't quite understand the synergy stuff. I just do it. I don't quite understand it.
I completely, for the longest time, I didn't get how it worked until like chapter 6 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you use an ability with a character, there's some abilities that don't count towards it. You get a synergy point essentially. And then it'll cost 3 or 4 for the two characters you want to use a synergy ability for. you also have synergy skills. So when you hold the block button, you can press square, triangle, circle, or X, and it'll make you do different stuff with different characters. That opens up like a whole different avenue for characters.
Didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I didn't realize this at first. I thought the skills and the abilities were the same thing, and I was so confused when I was doing certain stuff sometimes.
Yeah. That probably because I don't block off them.
You don't block, and you don't use Punisher mode, which just infuriates me watching.
Yeah, but I love playing the way I play.
That's fine, but it just as watching it, I'm like, I'm watching
you fix
get...
this.
No,
I just go. I just want you to know that Despawn Fix will never do it now.
Yeah, no. I play the game the way I want to play.
That's
the
fine.
Game.
Like, but it's
I,
just like,
bro, yeah. I sit there sometimes buying potions just to help to literally heal my team when I know my team have cure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and MP. Like, I know that I'm playing the game quote unquote wrong, but I love the way I'm playing the game, and that's all that matters.
Exactly, yeah.
If you're getting through it, you're not playing it wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm on dynamic difficulty as well, so I'm not... Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it a lot.
Those synergy abilities are fun. They say with the block one, my favorite one is where Barrett will fire at Cloud, and Cloud will deflect the bullet into an enemy, and it's so cool.
Yeah, even Tifa's. Tifa has one where like she'll jump onto Cloud's sword and he'll throw
Tifa
at the people. That's dope.
Yep. Ones that'll launch enemies in you. Firing Red 13.
Yes. There's so much. A lot of that stuff, because I remember during Remake, there was a portion in one of the trailers where people were like, oh, that's Cloud and Tifa like working together, using an ability together, and it ended up not being true. And I feel like that was sort of the catalyst to like, hey, maybe we should do that in the sequel. And seeing that play out, I think is like very, very dope. On top of it being very fun and adding a whole new layer to a combat that I feel like already worked in the original.
Yeah,
Remake, that is.
I will say
the combat
also,
system's near perfect. The combat system's near perfect.
Yeah, I was just going to say that using the synergy abilities is also important because it also plays towards your character relationships.
Yep.
So the more you use those synergy abilities, the more your relationship grows with those characters.
I think it's you want to go through each synergy ability once. I think you only have to do them once. So I don't think it's you have to spam them multiple times.
That's right.
But you want to try and hit as many of them as you can.
Yeah. That's fair. But no, it's so cool. Like, the combat is the best. Like I say, especially like... Because I didn't really feel like that well in Remake that you could like focus on specific builds that you wanted to do. Like, there was ways to do it, but like it was very much like just, you know, increase your damage and you're good to go. But in, like I say, definitely in Rebirth, like the man, I need to, I'm just going to post it on socials after the game has been out a couple more weeks. Like, the build that I'm running at the moment for Cloud, he's just melting literally everything, and it is fantastic. And the fact that you could build out characters like that, like, I've not done it with everyone else yet, because obviously Cloud's the main character you can control, but being able to like have those specific builds that you want for a character is awesome.
Yeah.
The game's special. I like, there's no way of saying it's not special. It's a very, very special game for people that care about this world. And I think that's what this game does. And you asked, Matt, what makes this game special, right? Like, in terms of what you like about it. I think the world is not something that I really cared about in Final Fantasy. Like, for me, I had Smash 7, sorry. I have nostalgia for that train at the start of Remake, right? Like, that is something I have. The city that you're at, Midgar, I never had that. I never had a relationship with that city. I had a relationship with the bathhouse. Is that what they call it? I don't know what they call it in this game. In the last game, sorry.
It's not...
Like the stripper place, you know, like
Honeybee.
Thank you. I had a relationship with that place because I had seen it again, like from my early playthrough on that disc one, right? Where that this world, I have a relationship with all these different places that I'm going, and I feel that a lot more in this world compared to I did in Remake. Like, the world itself feel very different. The grasslands feels different to Juno, to anywhere else. I'm not gonna say anything else, but you know what I'm saying.
It captured that old school RPG feel that you don't get in a lot of games. Like, even if you're looking at like Final Fantasy 16, of when you're going from place to place, they feel distinct and different, and it feels like you're actually exploring a full world. On top of that, you are going to cities, and those cities feel living. It's not like in Final Fantasy 7, even if you go to that main city you're in section 7, they don't feel that. Like, it feels very like run down. It feels like it's not it's there purposefully for you to continue like the story and have stuff to do there, not like it's its own thing. Whereas in Rebirth, yeah. a lot of the cities you'll go to, they do feel like, oh, it's fully functioning without the characters being there.
Another thing I would like is if the shopkeeper would have different things.
Yeah, it's all the same stuff. I agree. It's
always
with that.
The same shit. Because I go and check every single time. I'm like, oh, I've got
like a thing or it's not enough. There'll be an item on sale that's like, okay, I'm going to pick up the three potions that are on sale or whatever, but there's not really anything new that until you get to a new section.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't need E4, but I'll still buy it. It's on sale.
I feel like those are there mainly for like, if you're rushing ahead and you miss something, they're kind of there for the people that don't like 100% complete a game. So like if you rush through an entire area, don't collect any boxes and you're like running low on potions, it's like, oh, I better go to the shop and buy some more potions.
Yeah.
For everyone who's like me, I've never gone to a shop, a weapon shop, and there'd be a weapon on sale that I haven't found already because I've looked everywhere. Mm. But there will be people that will fly through once.
Had it happen once, and I was like, am I going to go back? And then I looked at my money, and I'm like, I have like 48,000 gil, and I haven't used any of it. I'm just going to buy it instead of going back. Yeah.
Matt.
Hello.
Does any of this sound interesting?
Yeah, a little bit, because I think what I've been struggling with Remake is, you're right, in like by far the best character in Remake is Jessie.
Yes.
Why is she the only one that has a personality, or at least that you're trying to make me like? Like, I don't like Barrett. I don't like Cloud. Aerith is like, I've kind of only just met her properly, really, and I'm going through that section, and I'm like, I feel like you're trying to lean on a nostalgia for this character that I don't personally have.
Agreed.
I think so. Remake was very much with Jessie. Like, Jessie wasn't a character in the original. Like, she was a character, and obviously, but she wasn't like to that level.
Yeah, exactly. What you've done is you've almost tried to stick too closely to Seven, when you go, oh, we're going to diverge and introduce this new character, we can actually do it properly. Whereas if we try to do that with other characters, people are going to be mad at it because it diverges from the original, maybe.
I don't think that's the problem. They have to make three games. You have to have that arc over the course of the full game in the original.
So now, where I am in Remake, I'm pissed off that Jessie's gone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. Or even like Tifa, I would say, is like, okay, you've tried to do something here. Her and Cloud have a history, and you've not just hinted at that, you've shown it a little bit, and da-da-da. So I'm in. But the both those characters, they're fucked off now, and I'm with Aerith, and it's like, what the hell am I doing here? Like, I don't feel the connection.
Matt,
Royal Cumber.
Do me a favor.
Go on.
Beat this game.
I know.
I get it. I promise you. I've been there with you. I promise you. Like you need to play Rebirth, because I think all the problems you have with the characters in this game, I'm starting to get those answers. Like, again, Cloud's a I don't like Cloud. Why does the world, our world, have an affinity for this character that is a moody bitch? Like, it reminds me of 15 with Noctis. Where I'm like...
Yeah.
What's wrong with you, like, bro? What? And that did never got answered for me personally with Noctis, and I enjoyed the boy band instead a lot more than I enjoyed Noctis, right? Where with this, with Cloud, I don't really like Cloud either, if I'm honest. He doesn't react to things the way I want him to react to things for these characters that I care a lot about, especially being Tifa and Red and a few others, you know? But I do feel like I'm getting the answers slowly but surely. And I think, like Chris said, you got to remember, this the game you're playing right now is one disc of three that you would have got to experience.
Yeah, I get it.
Like, but, and they don't, and like, they've got three games to make, right? They can't feed you everything straight away.
And maybe that's part of the problem that I'm feeling, is that I don't feel, from a story perspective, that Remake is a good Act 1.
Right.
Because Act 1 is supposed to establish... I get that. But, like, you still need to have a three-act structure to have an engaging story. Even if that three-act structure is within another three-act structure. Like, you have to establish to me who Cloud is and why I should give a fuck about him. And I'm 12 hours in, and I don't...
I'll tell you this right now. I don't think I've even got that yet.
Which is mad.
I don't think it is, Jeff. It makes a lot of sense. To me, like, for the world and where we're going, it makes a lot more sense now, after 7 chapters of the second game.
Yeah,
it makes more sense.
Hours of game. After spending so many hours with this character.
I just want to say, anybody who's listening to this conversation, you might be inclined to make comments and spoil stuff. Don't spoil stuff, because there is very much spoiler conversation that can go on in this. On the discussion you two are having right now.
Yeah.
I just want to.
No, it's funny because you guys know the answers and me and Matt don't, right? And but I know, and that's why I'm trying to explain to Matt, where I'm like, the answers are coming. I don't feel like Cloud is the main character that we control in this world, but he's not my main character.
It's interesting as well, like hearing Crash and Despawn speak on it, who do have more context than we do. Like, it feels to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you don't have much reservation or worry that they won't land the plane here. That, like, they could fuck it.
No, I don't think they could fuck it. Like, there's 100%. Never say they couldn't. But with what they've done so far and what I've played so far, it is by and far better than the original story in a lot of ways.
So, for me,
so additive to it, right?
For me, they're hitting every story beat I expect them to hit. And when they hit it so well, and they expand on every moment so well that, like, what was like a 2-sentence throwaway section in the OG version is now like an entire, like, really heartfelt monologue from somebody. And it's like, every single moment is just like, they're hitting it out of the park so far. Could they miss the mark at the end? Probably. Anyone could, but, like, will they? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think every time they've set themselves up at the opportunity to fail, they hit it out of the park.
Put it this way, for me, Matt. If we don't get to, if I don't understand Cloud by the end of this game, I'm fine with that, because I understand Barrett 10 times more. I understand Aerith 10 times more. I understand Tifa 10 times more. I understand Red 10 times more than I ever did. Mm-hmm. And that's what's got me excited, you know? Like, I'm,
Again, part of this is something I always say of, like, Fallout 3 being my favorite game of all time, because it launched when I was 14 and had nothing else to do. And if that was the case with this game, I'd probably love it way more, right? Like, value for money wise, and like all the things I can do and the people I can speak to and the side quests are really great. Da, 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 da. There is definitely some frustration in the fact that I just don't have the time that I need to dedicate to it to get to the point where I'm going to fall in love with this franchise. But, you know, you have to hold your hands up and go, this is a, I don't know, when Final Fantasy VII come out, when the original come out?
97?
97,
this is a franchise that is 97. That old, and people are so excited to get back in, and it's, you know, the second disc gets remade and gets tens across the board, or nines and tens across the board. Like, what an achievement. Like, I have to hold my hands up and kind of go, I understand that I'm wrong, but I want to love this thing.
I want you to love it as well. Yeah.
For me, I want you to love it so you get to Rebirth. I was going
to
say something.
He has to get to Rebirth. I don't care if you don't beat another video game this year. Like, you have to make it through Remake to go, that was a fucking waste of time, to at least experience Rebirth to go, okay, this just isn't for me. Because you're not, I think you'll know after the first two chapters.
Here's what I'll say for anybody who might be in Matt's situation and didn't like Remake, and you're really thinking about Rebirth and everything with the open world and stuff like that, it seems like it's more up your alley. It's fine if you watch a here's what happened in Remake and then jump into Rebirth. I would kind of recommend that to a degree.
Couldn't have said that, I lied, because that might be the route I end up taking. No, no.
So, I don't want you to. I don't know.
I made my New Year's resolution. I'm sticking to it. I'm going to beat Remake.
I was going to say the same thing. I think, to be fair, Rebirth comes with that. Rebirth has a recap trailer.
It's not good enough.
Go on YouTube. Yeah. But yeah, like, their options are there if you really want to do that, if you really just want to get to Rebirth. My question is, Matt, what difficulty are you playing Remake in?
Great question. Couldn't tell you.
Okay.
Knock it down to easy. That's why.
Just knock it down to easy and fly through everything.
Yep. That's why I did.
I'm not struggling in combat, really. No. Combat is one of my favorite bits of it. Like, I fought a boss and, like, kind of struggled. Like, I had to revive a few people and was like, this is quite, I quite like this.
Yeah, a lot of that.
I don't
in Rebirth.
Really think I've lost many fights.
Yeah, Rebirth's a lot harder.
Yeah, Rebirth's a lot harder. Yeah, it's a good job to give you a lot of opportunities with your character builds because you're going to need them.
Fair enough.
I don't know what I'm doing. I don't need them. I'm making my way through.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I don't know if you need.
Yeah.
On like the normal difficulty and dynamic difficulty, I don't think you need builds necessarily.
But yeah,
you can power your way through it.
I'm looking forward to playing this game again on hard.
Yeah.
Which is, not even at the end yet.
And I'm just looking forward to playing this game again. Yeah.
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 Yeah, I could keep going. But I guess we'll talk about it again next week when we're
and the week
probably
after.
Finished, I would imagine.
I'll be done.
Oh, really?
What chapter are you on?
I'm at the end of 9. I'm doing like some open world bits into 10. So I could go into 10 right now if I wanted to.
What I will say to end this conversation is still not my game of the year. I haven't finished Yakuza Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth yet, or Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. But that game is still I think the world and its tone is just so more up my alley and everything
it's
makes sense. Where Final Fantasy, there's still moments that happen in this game that I'm just like, I don't really know what's going on, but okay. Cool. I know it's interesting. I know I like it. I know that I care about these characters and I can understand how we've got from A to B to C to D, but you know, maybe I don't quite understand the sounds of what it means. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, we're getting there, but I'm just like, I don't quite understand why you're important, but that could just be me being dumb, and I am very dumb. So, it is what it is. Anything anyone wants to add before we end? Move on.
I previewed a game that I'm allowed to talk about.
Ooh. Oh, perfect. You've got a game to talk about.
I got a game to talk about. I previewed No Rest for the Wicked, which is the new action RPG from Moon Studios, who made the Ori games.
Mm.
And I fucking love it. Like, it is so good. Like, they gave me a 2-hour preview that I played through twice. And basically, it is kind of Diablo-ish, but more less clicking and more action. You know, WASD to move and action combat. All of the weapons and armor you find are randomly generated, so every playthrough you do will be significantly different. Unlike a Elden Ring, you know, where you open this chest, you're going to find this weapon. You open this chest, who knows what you're going to find? And it is one of the most beautiful games I've ever played. Like, the cutscenes and the art style of the gameplay are very different from one another, but both equally stunning. And you know I'm a sucker for a goddamn art style coming from an animation background. It's one to keep an eye on for sure. Launched into early access on April 18th. Crash, I think this is way up your alley. I think you're going to love it. Kind of Souls, kind of Diablo.
Everything I've heard about it very much is like, oh, I'm way more interested in this now than I was previously.
You was not Ori fan, right?
I liked Ori 2 fine.
I've never played an Ori game, but I feel like this is quite a departure from their usual stuff, right? Like, really combat heavy, really, really interesting. And it's one of those games where you, like, every weapon feels so incredibly different that it borders on like fighting game stuff, right? And they've talked a lot about that in their developer stuff. But yeah, like I say, launched into early access on April 18th. They're planning on adding like co-op and PvP, and they really want to like lean on the PvP side of stuff. They think it's got a lot of potential in that world, and so it'll be really interesting to see how it develops this year. I don't know if we get a 1.0 launch this year. I don't think that necessarily will happen, but I'm definitely going to be jumping into the early access. Some of the aspects that they've talked about as well that I didn't get a chance to play, but there's like a Animal Crossing style build up your city meta game to the whole thing. Where like as you go out into these parts of the world, you'd be like chopping down trees and mining ore and stuff, and then bringing it back to your village to build up your village while all that's happening and stuff. It looks awesome, man.
You sold me. I can mine and chop trees.
I was gonna say, chopping trees, I'm in. I'm in.
Carrying wood, yeah, let's go.
Why do you think RP got me so much? It's just a full grind fest. A couple bits of news to cover this week, boys. Let's start with the Xbox partner preview. Myself and Despawn ended up reacting to this. They ended up showing a bunch of different games. Despawn,
hey,
I'll start with you. Have you actually, boys? Crash, Matt, have you watched it? Did you watch the showcase?
I didn't. I watched the first like 10 minutes.
Lucky you. Mm-hmm. So
they were the best
production wise. It was fine once again. Didn't overstay its welcome. Feeling like Xbox have nailed what they're going for the tone of the show. I really like the end slates and when it says new game release, what platforms it's coming to, makes everything very easy on the eyes and understandable, which is fantastic. Didn't love the AI voice thing they did this time around. Mm. I would have much preferred a... It sounds horrible, but maybe this is a real voice, but it didn't sound like a real voice. It sounded very AI robotic-y, maybe a little bit too, if this was a real voice, a bit too polished, in my opinion. But that's neither here nor here. The content inside of this show is what's important. Before we go through everything, I thought this was very weak. I understand that double A's... And, you know, indies need a place, obviously, to showcase their games. I don't think this does them any favors when you don't package it with something that is huge. I feel like it's easy to forget when the last game isn't something big, where if you hit with that last game or being something very big, surprisingly, it makes me think about the showcase a lot more because I go, I have that thing in my memory going, oh, that's where that got announced. And then I go, oh, and this and this and this got announced. Where with this, the entire show to me, the thing I remember most is Chucky. And not because I remember Chucky for a good thing. I remember it because I thought it was super out of place and didn't make any goddamn sense of why it's here. But yeah, I didn't love the showcase, honestly. But Despawn, you watched it with me. What did you think?
Kind of similar vibes. I enjoyed, like I said, the packaging is fantastic. Like Xbox usually knock it out of the park with that kind of stuff. I think the format is great, but the content within this time round, again, like you say, I was nothing that really like jumped out at me like, I'm going to be talking about this in the next couple of days kind of thing. Like I've had to look back at the list of games to see like, oh yeah, I remember that was shown already, which is not a good sign. There was a couple of nice little touches for those that enjoy those. We'll talk about obviously the content that was in there, but like there's a couple of good things in there for people that enjoy those series and things like that. But yeah, all in all, it was like, it wasn't as good as the last one, I don't think.
Crash?
I liked it. I thought it was fine. I thought everything they said, I thought they delivered on what they said that this was going to be. They gave a preview, whatever was in the Xbox Wire post about this. I think they hit all the notes on that. There wasn't anything extra. And I think going into a showcase like this and expecting or wanting something more, I think might be the wrong sort of move with it.
Personally. I think I'm not allowed to want more. I expected more, 100%. But I don't think it's wrong to want more. Because again, the way they you're 100% right, what they said on the tin is what we got, right? Like they said what they were going to show, and there was a few surprises mixed in with that. I just think this is the third party, right? This is the things we're bringing to Game Pass, and we've partnered with people. I just wish they would have had something, and it's very unfair of me to say, right? Considering they partnered with bloody Capcom, which is...
I was going to say, like, isn't that...
Yes, it is. Unfortunately, and this is where it's unfair on my behalf, I don't care about this game specifically that was shown.
I think the big difference is I actually really liked the look of that at the end.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, so I like...
Matt, you didn't watch it, right?
No.
Okay, cool. Let's go through it real quick, Chris, shall we? Yeah. First thing we had was Unknown 9 Awakening. Again, I'll try and remember the best of what each of these games were, but I don't always. This was the Assassin's Creed looking game with the actress who is in The Witcher, if I'm not mistaken. Bandai Namco Publishing, if I'm also not mistaken. It looked interesting. but not interesting enough, unfortunately. So
this one for me gave me kind of like, I think I said it during the preview when we were reacting, it gave me like third person Dishonored vibes with a little bit of Assassin's Creed mixed in. So it had like, you had like special powers that you could use to like sneak around and like throw enemies about and things like that. Mm-hmm. But it also seemed like it has like the combat of an Assassin's Creed as well. So it seems like a nice little middle ground between those. I'm interested in this one. I want to see more on it. But yeah, like, I was all right with that one as a starter.
I think it was meant to, I think, because you're starting the show with something big, right? And I think this, it was meant to be quite big. I just didn't think it hit quite as, you put in faces, Chris. Bandai Namco, big publisher. Like, first time seeing this game be shown off. I think it was meant to start off bigger.
I guess.
Yeah, okay. All right. What did you think of the game anyway?
I like the look of it. I think it's trying to do something else with stealth, and we've talked about stealth before, and it's stealth's been done to the point where it's difficult to innovate on stealth to a degree other than sort of like perfecting the formula. I feel like this game tries to do certain levels of innovation, especially stuff that you've gotten in top-down stealth games. There's one in particular I'm thinking of that I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. They released either a sequel or something like that not too long ago. I can't remember what it's called. But it is trying to be innovative to a degree, and I thought it looked really cool if it plays well. But this is one of the games where it's like, I could see this playing a little bit clunky, possibly. But yeah. I like the look of it overall.
Fair enough. Matt, did you see this one?
Yeah, I did see it. And yeah, I don't think I've got anything more to add than you guys, other than it is like part of this weird like transmedia thing. Like, it already has a Spotify podcast and tale, like novels and like all sorts of weird stuff that is already built this world up, right? And
maybe Fick is right.
No, I am right. I'm 100% right. Xbox came... Bandai Namco, like, you got to think of the publishers that are shown here, right? I bet you can't name me five of the other publishers shown here. Bandai is one of the big names. They started it with a Bandai, they ended it with a Capcom. And I love that from them, but it just, the games they show just wasn't, or me again, wasn't interesting for me, which is a shame. But yeah, I agree with you though, Matt. I think they're trying to prop it up as it's a big deal. And I just don't think what we saw made it seem like it was a big deal.
Yeah, I agree with that. But it's coming out soon, right? It's this summer.
It's this year. Yeah, this year, this summer, 2024, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Moving on, we had Sleight of Hand. This was the... it looked... a bunch of cards were shown. There was like some witchcrafty, like detective novel-y type game. Yeah, I didn't get enough because we didn't get to see any gameplay. It was all CGI trailer, unfortunately. I think the world that they're trying to build here is pretty interesting. But yeah, not again. Once again, I'm not sure.
Yeah, described on Steam as a third person stealth action deck builder.
I think that sounds very interesting if it can get pulled off. Because there was the, what game came out last year, before last year, there was like a first person card game, if I'm not mistaken. White Inscription. Something. No, not Inscription. That was a roguelike. No.
Yeah.
It was White Something, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It was.
White Neon. All right. White Neon? Was it? It was like a speed running.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I thought this was like a cool idea.
Thanks.
It was a good joke. It's a good joke.
Simon, wrong Simon. Great joke, wrong Simon. I'm sorry. Sorry, go on, Matt.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I thought it looked interesting. I think it's a cool idea that you have like, you know, a stealth action game with elements of randomness about the abilities you can do based on deck building and cards and stuff like that. I think, yeah, it's a cool idea, cool vibe. Like you say, like noirish detective stuff. I'm in.
Let's see some gameplay before you say you're in, Matt.
You
commit too early. I think from a concept point of view, the next thing that was shown was probably my favorite. But again, it's in a world, unfortunately, that I'm not very big on. This is The Alters. Sorry, by the way, Sleight of Hand coming to Game Pass. The Alters, which this was the clone space game. Kind of looked like you were stuck in a building like Fallout Shelter. It kind of looked like that in the way they panned that and things. I liked the look of this a lot. It just, why is it always space? I get it, people like space, like Despawn, but I just don't like, I hate space so much.
Overrated.
Like, this was in a, I wish this was that, this type of game, right? But in like a zombie apocalypse world, like that sort of concept of like, and then there's some supernatural stuff with the cloning that we put in there or something, like just space. God damn, it's always space. Fresh, what did you think of The Alters anyway?
Not for me. I tuned out like almost immediately as soon as I saw like gameplay and stuff going on. Not like really, like those type of games don't normally get me. And then on top of it, putting it in space, which we've talked about space before, that not being something that like, that's something that's very hard for me to like get pulled into. Just absolutely did not vibe with me.
Fair enough. Matt, did you see this one?
Yeah, I've been keeping an eye on this one. It's been rocketing its way up the Steam wishlist chart, actually. I think it's a really cool, interesting concept. Like again, conceptually, like you said, Fix, really interesting. Very like Moon vibes, which is a great film. If you haven't seen it, go watch Moon. I think it's got potential, but I don't know. It could be one of those games that comes out with very little fanfare and just disappears off into the ether.
In Game Pass, at least it has that going for it.
Come on now.
Yeah. Next up, you've got Creatures of Ava, which is also launching in Game Pass as well. Like I say, Game Pass had a great showing at this showcase, by the way. Absolutely fantastic. This? But yeah. Which is an action adventure, creature saving game from 11-bit Studios. I honestly, I don't even remember this one. So that's not a good sign from that. Despawn, remind me what this was.
It was adorable little creatures. You walk around with a flute. You basically.
It was the flute one. Yes, flute I do one. Remember.
Yeah.
I do remember.
You guys can't see it, but I'm just watching at the moment. One of the animals got a belly rub. So yeah, 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. 10 out of 10. Mm-hmm. Belly rub sequels, 10 out of 10.
It does seem like a game that could be in Despawn's like end of the year. Game of the year list. Just possibly. Sneak into there just because of how.
How many times out of 10? I already know two of these.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah.
But I know three of
these.
I
know one of his 10.
I know three of his 10. No. But no, what? So what's the one you think?
Final Fantasy.
Did you not watch his review? For like, it's a 10 out of 10. You can't give a game a 10 out of 10 and then it not be in your top 10.
Despawn can have 9 other 10 out of 10.
Like, I could have 11. Like, the way this year is going, there might be more of the 10s than...
We got Dragon's Dogma coming out.
Dragon Dogma's coming
this
soon.
Month as well. So I'm so excited for that.
Dude, I'm not ready. I don't have enough time. I'm scared.
Yeah. Gotta get through Rebirth, and you gotta finish off
Like a Dragon. Have to.
Do what I do. Just spend the entire week playing like a Dragon.
I do that now, and I just still I don't have time. next up, we had what? Sorry, did you guys have anything to add on Creatures of?
Ava? Looks cute. No.
Okay. Next up, we had Chucky. Is joining Roblox. Yes, you heard me correctly. Chucky, the killer doll, you know, this for adults, is joining Roblox. I don't get it. I'm very confused. I don't understand.
I think this makes sense.
Okay.
How?
Because the people who play Roblox are aging up. You have to put out content that ages with them instead of trying to stick to that younger audience. I think they're trying something. I don't know if it'll be successful, but I do think they're trying to age with their audience. I don't think this is
that's
the right
property to go way for. To look at it. Yeah.
When I look at it, that's what I see it. Otherwise, like, why are you doing Chucky? Because Roblox has been in the game for a while at this point, and people are talking about it less and less.
No, Roblox is huge. It's the same thing with like Minecraft still. I hate to say like generally I get what you're saying, but I'm saying like I go to see my nephews and I'm like, oh, what have you been playing? Roblox. They don't even talk to me. They don't even like me. I look at them and they're like, why are you talking to me, Uncle Corey? I don't like you like that. And I'm like, what are you playing? They're like, Roblox. You give me some Robux? No? Then piss off. That's how it feels.
Leave me alone.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Straight up. Like, these kids, they love Roblox. They love it. I did that talk at the primary school a couple of years back, right? They're like, everyone's like, I'm like, oh, what games you guys play? Expecting like Fortnite, you know, No. Roblox. Everyone. Roblox. And I was just like, how have I just missed this entire world? Like, it's just a whole nother world. It's huge. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I think you hit the nail on the head there of a point I didn't think of. You do have to age up. And we already know that kids play gate content for them that they shouldn't play anyway. And I think this is what this is going to be. But I do agree, if you add those 15-year-olds who are now 17, 16, and they're still playing Roblox, this is perfect for them. It shouldn't be, you know, legally. They probably shouldn't be playing this. But whatever, you know, who am I to judge?
Yeah.
Has Roblox had a lot of tie-ins before?
It depends on what you mean. So I know they did a KSI concert once.
Oh, really?
Like, they've done stuff. I don't know if they've had it. I've never seen any licensed IP like this before.
Yeah. I think the keyword there is going to be licensed IP. I'm pretty sure they've had, like, because you can make your own games in Roblox and import your own models and stuff like that. So I'm sure that it's been to a degree. I don't think I've ever heard of Roblox doing something like this, but also, like, Roblox isn't in my peer view. Like, it's not something I pay attention to.
That's kind of the way I feel about it too. And I think, like, for them, maybe this is like the first mainstream real tie-in like this, and so maybe you just get it, even if it doesn't feel perfect for your audience. You just get it in under the radar, do it, success, money, and then go, oh hey, Alien, Xenomorph, we had Chucky in. Do you want to come in? Why not, right? Like, and you go to all those people who've worked with Fortnite before. So I'm sure Chucky's been in Fortnite, hasn't he? Probably.
No, probably not. Dead by. Really? No. Dead by Daylight.
Dead by is in, yeah, but not.
All right.
Yeah.
You just start that system going.
And then get Chucky would be a weird one in Fortnite.
Yeah,
so you can make him a backpack. I think that'd be hysterical.
Chucky
a backpack.
Just shaking a knife.
Yeah, that'd be hysterical,
what they did with Peter Griffin and go, well, we can't make him fat because nobody will play him because he's got a big hitbox, so we'll just make him buff. Buff Chucky.
You want buff Chucky, yeah.
You want buff 6 foot Chucky?
Is that why he wasn't fat? Because he have a big hitbox?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there's an episode where he's like buff like that, so it's not like out of
Next up, which is the game that probably interested me the most of this entire showcase, which was the Sinking City 2. I really enjoyed the showing of this game, considering I hadn't played the original. And if I do find time, if this is coming out this year, I believe, as well, right? If I do find time, I probably will check out this series now. Because, again, third person, action, spooky, my type of game, you know?
Yeah.
Very, very Resident Evil inspired type situation.
So this is leaning more, rather than it being Resident Evil, this is more leaning into like H.P. Lovecraft, so like Eldritch Horrors and those kind of things.
More
so
like Alone in the Darky.
Yeah, more Alone in the Dark, Silent Hill kind of weird horror.
Yeah, but Evil Within is literally Resident Evil.
And no, I just want to say, like, Resident Evil's like plenty weird. Why are we acting like Resident Evil's not weird?
True. But is it H.P. Lovecraft weird?
I don't know what that is. What's H.P. Lovecraft?
He's like a horror
Cthulhu and stuff, you know, like that.
The guy who came up with the idea of Cthulhu.
As somebody who doesn't play a lot of Resident Evil, I would say it's like H.P. Lovecraft type. So weird. It's not. It's definitely not. But it's plenty weird. I don't think it's that far off.
Yeah.
I like what we saw. I thought it was a great showing, tonally for the game. I knew exactly what it was. I knew exactly what to expect if I was picking up the title. So really, yeah, I really do like. I know this is a standalone, so you don't need to play the first one either, I believe.
Yeah. Also, this is coming out in 2025.
Oh, okay, cool. Interesting. That's a shame. Mm-hmm. I'd say that. Maybe it's not. Maybe I will get to the original. We'll see. Next up, Final Fantasy 14 Online. You'll be able to play this in game. There's some Game Pass rewards, if I'm not mistaken, right? For Ultimate. And I think if you got Ultimate, you get the Starter Pack Edition, which is available from the 21st of March to the 19th of April. I'd love to go back, but I don't think I can. Right now, I don't think I can go back. And plus, I won't play on Xbox anyway because I've already got my PC character and we've got that whole thing already built. Even though it is cross-play.
Mm-hmm. It is cross-play, yeah.
Yeah, it's cross-play and cross-progression, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so you just move the character over.
Yeah, but if after I've beaten Seven and I've beaten Like a Dragon and I've beaten Dogma.
Dragon's Dogma. Mm-hmm. There's gonna be something else that comes out by then. I just want you to know that.
Of course there is. This feels, but the thing is, with Final Fantasy Online coming and there being a little bit of hype behind it again, it feels like there's a moment there I could jump on the My Xbox and Me channel, just do a couple hours here and there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely.
But we'll see. Was anybody else tempted to go back? Go in?
Nope. Like, not in the slightest.
I'm always tempted to go back.
The reason I'm not tempted is not because I don't like the look of it. Like, I've played some Final Fantasy 14 before, and I've always enjoyed my time in it. But I know how much of a time sink it would be if I started that game. Especially if I get like Game Pass access. I'm like, oh god, no. Again, I won't play anything else. I'll sleep or eat properly or work properly. So I'm avoiding it. Like, I will avoid all MMOs like the plague because of that exact reason.
Fair enough. All right, let's get for the next couple. Matt's
oh, God, now. Come on.
You got Stalker Legends of the Zero Trilogy. This is the trilogy of the Stalker games. I didn't like the look of it just because old game's old, unfortunately. I think it's cool to have it on a platform where you can get it very easily accessible. But not for me, unfortunately. I'm looking forward to Stalker 2, though, but not this. Next up, we had Monster Jam Showdown. The only game here that I wanted to be in Game Pass that isn't, which is really bloody annoying. Because it's like, this seems like a game that I would enjoy if it was in Game Pass, but would I probably buy it outright? Probably not. No.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Maybe we can check it out.
Yeah, that's the problem. I think it's fun for 3 hours during a live stream, not fun that I'm going to carry on playing it afterwards.
Do we know the price point for that game?
Haven't got a clue.
No clue.
No.
It reminds me of, what was that game that did come at Game Pass? It was like the Destruction Derby one.
It was Dirt. Was it Dirt?
Not Dirt, no. It was like something Wreck.
No, I don't know.
Oh, Wreckfest.
Wreckfest. It reminds me of
Wreckfest's
like...
Wreckfest's amazing.
Yeah, it gives me those kind of vibes where it's like, it would be fun to just like jump in with some people for a bit. But it's like, it's not something I'm going to go out and buy.
Yeah, I get that.
Which is a shame. The
one big thing here that I think a lot of people were surprised by, though, was Persona 3 Reloaded Expansion Pass. Not the fact there is an expansion pass, I don't think that shocked people, but the fact that it's in Game Pass Ultimate subscriptions. We don't see that very often. DLC and expansions and things like that being part of Game Pass. Persona 3 Reloaded Expansion Pass comes out March 12th. The first part, the second part is in May, and eventually there'll be a third part as well coming in September, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, none of those parts are super interesting until you get to the third one, because the first two are just costumes and stuff like that.
It's not my job to say if it's interesting, Chris. It's my job to read what's important.
I'm just putting that out there. I'm not making a comment.
I think the first part is music from some of the other games.
Four
and five. Yeah. And then the second one is costumes. And then obviously the third part is the full... the full expansion thing.
Yeah. I want to say both parts actually come with costumes, if I'm not mistaken.
Nope.
Just different sets of costumes. Really?
I'm watching it in the background now. Yeah. Persona 3 Reload, Persona 4 Golden, and and then the costumes come in May.
I think that's such a weird move to do an expansion pass like that.
Unless it wasn't planned and they were like, okay, well, we can easily put the music in. Then we're going to work on the costumes.
I could see DLC maybe having taken more time than they expected. They were like, we got to put something out or something that. Maybe. I don't know. That's interesting. Yeah.
But we were talking about this in the past about like keeping games alive, like single player games. Like, this is a great way to do that. Putting like little bits of DLC and then leading up to a big part that comes later. Like, you keep people interested.
It's an interesting attempt.
Yeah.
I think people will go back for costumes, especially when they're like, oh, I want to replay it to get more achievements. And like, this is where like having an achievement system and like putting more priority on that. We've talked about Xbox possibly like putting a little bit more effort into that. Mm-hmm. There you can keep a games alive that way by adding a little bit more content so that the next time they play through that game, it's a little bit different. And they're like, I get a little bit more enjoyment out of that.
If they put out a costume in Resident Evil 2 today, I'd buy it tomorrow and play through that game again. So yeah, it definitely does work. And yeah, it wouldn't have to be anything crazy either, let's be honest. So
yeah. Jill, put in a hat.
Honestly, like it wouldn't have to be a lot. Last couple of games here, you got the first Berserker, Kazan. Hope I said that correctly. This is a new RPG from Nexon. I didn't love the look of it personally. I thought the frame rate during this trailer was absolutely atrocious. In certain elements of it. I pointed it out while I was watching it. I didn't think it was a great showing for the game. The game looked somewhat interesting, but when your trailer frame rate isn't even correct, it doesn't bode well for me for the rest of the game.
Yeah, I like the look of the game other than that. But yeah, frame rate in like an action type of game is such a big thing that like showing it with poor frame rate kind of makes me weary. If that's the state it's in and you expect games to improve by the time they launch, what's this game actually going to look like when it releases?
Yeah. At this one, you want to take the next one, the next one you're excited about?
Yes. So this is the Tales of Kanzara Zao. So this is one of the original that's coming from, we saw it at the Game Awards, I think last.
Yeah.
Again, seeing the gameplay of this, it gives me the vibes of, like, let's say we've played it recently, like Prince of Persia, Lost Crown. Mm-hmm. But I think we were talking about, like, we're a bit worried that, like, is it going to be as good? Because you're now going to be, like, looking like this, you are going to be kind of measured against that. But, like, from what I've seen so far, I'm still excited about this one. I definitely want to jump into it. I love the characters. I love the concept. The gameplay looks great. I'm very excited for this one.
I just not in the mood for another Metroidvania like type game. I played Prince of Persia this year. Fantastic, great, fantastic game. Really enjoyed it. I'm not in the mood to play another one anytime soon, unfortunately. So
that's a shame.
Kind of a shame. But yeah. And are you guys going to check it out?
I am. I'm looking forward to this. I think since this was shown, I think it's looked very good. It looks very platformy, and that is sort of a little bit of a worry for me, only because I'm not the biggest platform fan, but I have been played through all of Celeste. I enjoyed that. So platformers do resonate with me sometimes, and I'm hoping this kind of leans on that side.
Fair enough. Matt?
Yeah, I still need to get back to Prince of Persia. And because I love the Prince of Persia series, and I love the look of that game and the way that people rave about it gets me very excited. I want to support games like this, right? Like, it's doing something different. It's telling a story that hasn't been told before. It's not just a sequel to a thing. It's a brand new IP from a smaller studio. Like, I want to support stuff like this, and it looks sick. So yes, I want to get to it. Will I get to it in Prince of Persia this year? I hope so.
That's all that.
Last two games, Frostpunk 2 will be released on PC on the 25th of July. This is also going to be in Game Pass, which is huge. Frostpunk 2 is set 30 years after the original. I said this to this one. I really like these type of games. I don't get to play them as much as I would like. But I do really enjoy these type of games. I'm hoping this does well on Game Pass so we can keep seeing these type of titles come to the service, to be honest with you.
I think games like this are like perfect for like Game Pass. Like you say, for people like me who's like maybe it's not great, but I've heard a lot of good things about Frostpunk. Maybe this is one of those ones that like, it's on Game Pass, I'll check it out, and I might like get hooked. And then there's people like you, like love these type of games, but you know, we don't get enough of them. Again, enjoy.
Thank you.
Enjoy. enjoy these kind of games. Maybe this is an opportunity for you to jump into another one. I think this is a good get for Game Pass.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Very much so.
I agree. Anybody else interested in this?
No.
Last but not least, Crash.
Yes.
You like this look of this game so much, you can say its name because I can't.
Kunitsu Gami Path of the Goddess.
Yeah, that's what it's called, Crash. That's what it's called.
I believe that's how you say it.
This is a new Capcom game. It's going to be in Game Pass day one. No. This is not what you end on for a showcase like this for me.
Disagree.
Okay, then talk to
you. You have a Capcom game. I like the look of the combat. I liked how colorful it is. I like how original it looked. A lot of times we talk, like Matt said, sequels on sequels on existing universe and stuff like that. This is something different. And I think I appreciate that on top of it, having that Capcom name attached to it, which like you said last week, Capcom hasn't really been missing other than Exo Primal.
Capcom don't miss. I mean, even Exo Primal, I wouldn't say was a miss.
Oh, definitely a miss. How dare you? How dare you?
We are still playing, yeah?
I think some people are.
Some people are playing a lot of games.
Here's a bet for you. I bet Exo Primal has more concurrent players right now than Suicide Squad.
That's not fair.
That's not really a bet, is it? Come on. That's like saying, I bet water's wet.
It'd be funny if Exo Primal doesn't, though. I'm just saying.
I think it's a close call, right? That's why I kind of threw it out there as a bet. Nobody wanted it. It's fine.
No.
I think
you're Fix is doing the work.
I'm trying to. I'm trying to. Exo Primal right now has 89 people playing it on Steam.
Oof, that is not good for me. That is not good for me. I think Suicide Squad can hit low of 100 players.
Is the bet still on the table?
No, the bet's not still on. No, the bet's not still on. There's definitely no way I win that. I mean, the US are asleep right now, probably.
And Suicide Squad on Steam currently has 562.
Okay, fair enough.
Which is also not a good look.
Yeah. No, it's not good at all. I think it hit its low of like 120 a couple of weeks ago or something.
Yeah.
I think we reported on
shame.
It.
Rough.
It's a shame. It's a shame.
Rough.
Matt.
Yo.
Time for your segment, mate.
Oh, is it? Okay, hold on. Let me pull out my phone.
Gee, God damn it, Matt. You got one job around here. This is why the people call you a bitch.
Sorry, everybody. Okay. So I did get one in from Big Willy. I'm going to save it.
Okay.
Because I feel like it's a Halo one. I feel like we've been leaning on Halo and stuff too much. So, agree or disagree? Hellblade Senua's Saga 2 should come to PlayStation this year.
Oh, okay.
That's an interesting one.
All right. Disagree.
He didn't even start that part of the segment.
Sorry.
You're jumping ahead part of this.
We're going to go fix a crash, despawn me. Agree or disagree?
Oh.
Disagree.
Can we skip to despawn for right now?
Sure.
Can we skip to crash for right now?
I'm going to go disagree.
Disagree.
Agree.
Go on, Matt.
I'm the only one.
I'm gonna put it out there, Matt. For you to switch me to your side, it's not gonna take a lot.
Okay.
I'm so middle of the fence with this.
Let me
start. I think the reason why I disagree is because Xbox, the console Xbox, needs some form of exclusive. Whether those now are now timed exclusives, it is what it is, right? Xbox is an ecosystem now. They're no longer, this is my segment, move yourself. This is what Xbox is, right? And you said this year is what your wording was, right?
Yeah.
And I don't, because I think I've said this before, and I think we allowed it like I have like a say in Xbox.
We gave permission.
Fans have come to accept Sea of Thieves. We've come to accept Grounded, we've come to accept Hi-Fi Rush. All games that were exclusive on the console for at least a year. That is not a coincidence. And I think I am someone who has bought an Xbox, right? I have bought into this ecosystem and I was promised certain experiences to be exclusive. I think they should be, at least for a minimum time of a year now. So I think it would be, I think for the game's sake, it would be better if it was on PlayStation. I think it would probably perform better if it was on PlayStation. I think it would sell better if it was on PlayStation. They had the original on there as an exclusive at one point.
Yeah.
But for Xbox, that can't be the case. And for Hellblade, so what's the question one more time before I...
Should Hellblade 2 come to PlayStation this year?
No. I stand by everything I just said. No.
So I think that's the interesting thing, right? Of you saying these games should stay exclusive for 12 months. And that's kind of why I picked this question and worded it the way I did of saying this year, because you could get a solid 6 months of exclusivity and then still launch Hellblade in the October, November, December holiday season when the big games launch, right? Because Hellblade is due out in May, I believe. Yeah. Or is it June? Question mark.
May 21st.
There we go, May 21st. So I think that's a great play for Xbox, right? I think launching a game early-ish in the year that, my God, hopefully scores some eights, nines, maybe even a 10 or two, question mark, to launch a game early on in the year that has that impact, that has people talking about it, and then going, oh, and now when all the other big games launch in this year, Hellblade's going to come to your console too. And it's one of the best games of the year, and you should play it. I think there's real power in that. And sort of saying, oh, and also, by the way, it's still on Game Pass, and you could play it there if you wanted to just give us 10 quid for the month or whatever. I think there's real power in that. And Hellblade is one of those franchises that I think Xbox wants to be an Xbox temple franchise, but we just don't have that legacy, right, with it. And Senua is... and it's a difficult story to engage with. Not from a quality point of view, but from a subject matter point of view. And so I think it has the potential to be this huge franchise. But I think the way that it has the potential to get there is by getting it in front of as many players as possible. And so I think giving us 6 months of exclusivity on Xbox and launching it in the holiday season is a good play for Xbox.
So you said Xbox tentpole franchise. Can it be that if it goes to PlayStation is my question. And I'm not saying it can or can't either way. I'm just curious.
I think it can, because I think, you know, we talk about marketing a lot. And like, you know, for a time, it felt like Call of Duty was a PlayStation game. For a time, it felt like Destiny was a PlayStation game. And now is, I suppose. But like in that same way, right? Like, I think you just market it in a way and chuck that Xbox Game Pass logo at the end of it. And people do register that stuff. It can still feel like, it can still be an Xbox game, but be elsewhere. Like I think Hi-Fi Rush will. I don't think that doesn't feel like an Xbox game all of a sudden because it's going elsewhere.
Both the games you just mentioned though are multiplayer centric games. Like Destiny is a game that you can play. Sure. Yeah. And that's why I think the branding helps in that regard for single player games. I don't think it translates as well. But yeah, it's an interesting one. Eastbourne, you just stay quiet, talk.
Yeah, I just didn't want to talk over anyone because I do that a lot. basically, you know, I disagree kind of strongly because, again, we had this conversation when we started seeing the rumors of other games coming to other consoles. You start watering down the brand a little bit, and it's like you say, Xbox has spent the last few years marketing Senua as the tentpole game coming to Xbox. And if then you turn around and go, it's the tentpole game coming to Xbox, Xbox is the best place to play it, it's the only place to play it, 6 months later, it's like, actually, no, we don't care, just go play it wherever. It's like, it kind of waters down the Xbox brand experience to me. And Xbox needs, like I said, Xbox, I think we can all agree, Xbox need a tentpole game this year to build Game Pass and Xbox as a brand around. And honestly, for the first 6 months of the year, like, we haven't had anything really. I think we're going to get that from Senua, and then at the end of the year we're going to get that from Indiana Jones. I don't think then taking these big tentpole experiences, they're building the brand around and then moving them elsewhere is the way to go, especially if there is still life in those games where people will still be seeing. Again, when we get to the end of the year, we're talking game of the year conversation. If Senua is in that conversation and then you're saying the only place to play it is Xbox or PC, but still the only place to play it is in the Xbox ecosystem, then you start selling people on that ecosystem. And if they can do that with both Senua and then Indy and whatever else they've got coming up, that's what you want to be doing right now. You don't want to be giving that to other places.
I think go on.
I've never seen you just nope.
Yeah, because you said you're selling people on the ecosystem. And I agree, but I don't think the ecosystem is the console. I think the ecosystem is Game Pass. And so I think you go, yeah, you could totally give us $70 for this thing on PlayStation if you want. It's 6 months old. Or if you want, you can stream it on your iPad for 10 quid. a month.
That sounds like a terrible way of
playing. Playing that game on my fucking iPad.
I don't disagree.
The problem is,
that's what you said. They come out your mouth.
The problem is, I don't think they're quite at the point to be pushing streaming like that just yet. Like, they talk about it a lot, but they don't push people to, like, that is a valid way to experience this specific game if you're not on whatever platform, if you're not on Xbox or PC. They don't push it in that sort of way yet. Hey, I think, guys, if that's the type of marketing they did with Xbox with games, I think I'd agree with you.
Yeah.
And I think that'd be a fair take.
I think,
hey guys, we just spent hundreds of millions on this graphical fidelity Unreal Engine 29 game. Look at the pause in this lady's face. Oh, wait, would you like to play it on your 2002 iPad? Sure, go right ahead. Like, what? No.
The iPad wasn't around in 2002.
No, this game has been marketed as a showcase piece for what an Xbox console can do.
Yes.
Graphically, like... giving that to somebody else and be like, yeah, it also does it well over there. It's like, no, sell it for your systems is what you should be doing.
But you know that more people are going to play this on Series S than they are on X.
Yeah, but we know it's more people are going to play it on PC than on either of those consoles.
That's true as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of counters what Despawn's point just was, no?
But if you're playing on PC instead of those consoles, then my philosophy still holds water, give us 10 quid a month instead of 70.
No, because your philosophy is, we've launched it on another system, now let's convince you to get into Game Pass, where the philosophy should just be, we have put out a 10 out of 10 game, now let's convince you to play it on Game Pass. We don't care where you play it, which version of Game Pass you play it on, mm-hmm. but you have to play it on Game Pass somewhere. That should be the argument, not... Yeah.
If
PlayStation, this is cheaper.
If PlayStation had Game Pass, I think your argument would be like foolproof. I don't think there'd be an argument against it.
This should be a game that you sell Game Pass with or sell consoles with. It's not a game you should pass to your direct competitors, even if they say they're not the direct competitors.
I think a year later, sure. That's fair.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Like, when everyone who wanted to play it has played it, and anyone who didn't want to jump into Game Pass or Xbox is still waiting to play it, then maybe. But
I think some of my okayness with it comes from a bit of fear that I don't think Senua 2 will be a success. Now,
I agree.
I don't know how Xbox defines a success anymore, because we're not going to get sales numbers, because so many people are going to play it on Game Pass. So what does that look like? So if it just does well critically, is that good enough? If it gets so many concurrent players on day one, is that good enough? Who knows, right? But there is definitely a fear in me of going, I don't know if Senua makes its money back.
Doesn't need to. Just to be very full transparent.
No, go on.
No, like, I think you hit the nail on the head, right, of like what Xbox deems a success nowadays, right? What it deems as a success is not losing your subscription.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not gaining a new subscription, but it's not losing your subscription, which we've all spoken about before, right? And I think that's what Hellblade does. It doesn't have to sell gangbuster numbers. It doesn't have to even review as much as we I'm sure they want it to review well, but it doesn't have to. If that means they fed another piece of content to you, which has gone, I'll subscribe for another month, that is what they deem now a success in their ecosystem. I fully agree with that.
But also, like, I forget when it was, but we had talked about something along this lines where I had mentioned that Riot has their card game, and their card game is a loss every time. They don't make money off of it, but it's there to sort of feed a part of their market and sort of help certain values at the company that they need. I think even if Hellblade is a loss money-wise for them, if it gets nines, tens, and its reviews well, and it's critically acclaimed, I think that is big for Xbox, and they would view that as a success regardless, because it helps the brand. Like, you can't go saying, like, Xbox doesn't have these huge single-player franchises or these solid single-player experiences anymore after that point. And it helps Xbox marketing going forward.
Yeah.
I think for Xbox, the partner showcase is more that. It's more, hey, look at these smaller AA experiences that keep going into Game Pass and keep feeding your curiosity. I think they're big tentpoles that they're spending millions and millions internally on have been in development for maybe half a decade. I don't know. But like, can they really say we can take a loss on that?
At the end of the year, what's the conversation that happens? You look at the Metacritic scores and everybody talks about this is the average for this company. This is the average for this company. Games that boost that average, I think Xbox is 100% like willing to like, this is a loss. And it depends how big that loss is, of course. Like,
of course. Right?
If they lose $300 million, maybe that's like, okay, that's horrible for us. We're never doing that again. Maybe that's the case, right? But that's probably not going to be the case, I'd assume. Who knows? We don't know. But if they're like, oh, we lost $50 million, but we got this big boost to our reputation as a ecosystem, as a console, as an Xbox brand, I think they're like, that's a trade-off. That, to a certain degree, is marketing for them, right? If you like really look at it, you spend money in marketing and you don't necessarily always get something back, but your brand is more powerful because of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think yeah, it does come back for me to this a little bit of fear of going, I want more games like Hellblade. I want more games that take a risk, that have subject matter that isn't, you know, just go kill everything, blah, 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 blah. And there is definitely a fear that the Xbox will turn around at the end of this year, or maybe after Hellblade's been out for 12 months, or maybe after Hellblade's been out for 6 months, who knows, and go, whoo, that did not go the way we wanted it to for whatever reason. We need to make some more money on this, and I'd be fine with it then going to PlayStation if that's the discussion that needs to be had. Of course, we'll never see behind closed doors like that, and we'll never quite know why, if, or when, but I'd be okay with it, I think, if they announced it for November. I don't think the rest of the internet would be. I think it would kick off a firestorm like we saw not too long ago.
Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? No one got upset.
No one lost their mind. Yeah, no.
I think
not.
that part of that reason is why I think I'm leaning more and more towards the disagree bit, because that I think that would ultimately, even if it's better for the game, I think it is worse for Xbox as a whole.
Yeah.
If that goes, and in turn, I think that ends up being worse for the game either way, regardless, in the long run.
Personally, like, just as a final nail in this, I'm gonna leave it to the community to decide what they think. But I think, yeah, it is a final thing of like, what is best for Xbox as a whole? Is it the game that they have built their showcases around for the last 5 years going to a direct competitor 6 months down the line? Or is it saying it's the only place to play it is in Xbox?
Well, there it is. As always, let us know if you agree or disagree in the comments. And as always, head to the Discord or the YouTube comments and leave your agree or disagrees so that I can give them to this lovely lot and we can argue for your entertainment.
Always. I think we'll leave it there this week, boys. We've gone long. We usually only do an hour, so we've got a very long episode of this week's MXAM Extra. Appreciate you all. You know where to find us, at My Xbox and Me everywhere. That is Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. Clips are now going up on TikTok. We're trying. So go drop us a follow over there. You can find Kresh at KreshNickPlays. You can find Despawn at Despawn Games. You can find Matt at MattPVideo. And I've been MC Fixer. Until next time, love you. Leave it. See you later. Boys!